Today's sermon is called L Plate Disciples. It's based on the gospel reading from Matthew. And as we prepare to meditate on God's word, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the kingdom of heaven that Jesus brings to earth and that he embodies. Thank you for his call to learn from him and to participate in the kingdom of heaven. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would please open my lips to speak words for your people to hear, and that you would open our hearts and ears to hear and to follow Jesus. In his name I pray. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today, as I said, I want to talk about L Plate Disciples from the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 4. First of all, just before we get there, let's talk about L Plate drivers. How many L Plate drivers do we have here? One, two, Rebecca as well. Sylvia's looking forward to it. Who remembers the time when they were L Platers? Yeah? And who's currently a parent of an L Plate driver? Yeah, right. Okay, pray for these people. As you know, those of you who have been a parent of someone who's on L Plates, or those of you who remember the time when you were on L Plates, when you first get in a car and first get behind the wheel, you realize that all this time you've been sitting there and other people have been driving you places, and suddenly you realize that there's a whole lot going on that you didn't know was happening before you're actually sitting behind that wheel. Mitch, Carabo, what are some of those things that you noticed when you first sat there with your new shiny L Plates stuck up on the window? Oh, you haven't? Have you got, you've got your L Plates? Ah, okay. All right. This is coming up for you, Mitch.
Oh, it's out of things you have to.
Okay. That's a big... You've got to have your attention in multiple different places. Yep. Yep. Anything else? Or is that the big one?
That's the big one.
Yep. There's so much going on. You've got to look in your mirrors. You've got to look out the front, see what's coming ahead of you. As you learn to drive, it's what I call embodied learning. That is, you need to develop muscle memory. You need to develop a way of learning to do a whole lot of different things at once. Like when you come up to turning a corner, it's not just about turning the steering wheel. It's about knowing when to put the indicator on, knowing how to do the head check over your shoulder. There's just heaps going on. And for those of us who've been driving for a really long time, it all kind of comes naturally. When I was up in Queensland on my holidays, I jumped in a manual car for the first time in years, right? I know how to drive a manual, but gee, how many times did I stall it? You know, two or three bunny hopped across the intersections, that kind of thing, as I let the clutch out too fast. There's lots going on there. A really important thing, and Nick's going to nod his head here, is that you have to obey your instructor, like your instructor driver. Sometimes they will say things that don't seem to make immediate and obvious sense to you, right? But there's always a reason behind that instruction. It might be something like, okay, you're going to want to get into the left lane pretty soon. Maybe you don't even know where you're going, but there's always a reason why your instructor gives you that particular instruction. Would you agree with that, Nick? And often, there's not even time. If your learner driver goes, oh, why do I need to do that, Dad?
Like, stop!
There's not time to do that. You have to trust that your instructor actually knows what they're on about and that they have your best interests at heart. Well, as we look at the call of Peter, James, John, and Andrew in Matthew chapter 4, and I'll read those verses very soon, they really do become L Plate disciples. There's a lot going on. They have to listen really carefully to their instructor, and there's a whole lot that they have to learn by living it out. Let me read that passage to you again. One day, as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, "Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." And they left their nets at once and followed him. A little farther up the shore, he saw two other brothers, James and John, sitting in a boat with their father Zebedee, repairing their nets. And he called them to come too. They immediately followed him, leaving the boat and their father behind. Peter, James, and John become learners of Jesus. He graciously invites them to follow him and to learn from him in language that they can understand. He says, "I'm going to teach you, I'm going to show you how to become fishers for people." And they get up and they follow him. They walk with him. They live life with him for the next 3 years. What is it that they're learning? It's fairly obvious what a L-plate driver is learning. They're learning all the road rules and how to control the car and how to drive. Peter, James, John, and Andrew are learning about life in what Jesus calls the kingdom of heaven. Listen to the verses that go around that call of the disciples. When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he left Judea and returned to Galilee. He went first to Nazareth, then left there and moved to Capernaum. This fulfilled what God said through the prophet Isaiah. Skip a verse. "The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who lived in the land where death casts its shadow, a light has shined." From then on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near." What is this thing called the kingdom of heaven? In the other Gospels, we see it often called the kingdom of God, but the two terms are actually synonymous. They mean exactly the same thing. The kingdom of heaven is not the destination. When we read kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven in the Gospels, we need to remember that Jesus is not talking about our eternal life with God after we die. It's actually more like the journey and also what God does through Jesus on the way. The kingdom of heaven is the actual living, embodied presence of God and his work in people's lives through the person of Jesus. It's the transformation and the new life that Jesus brings as he walks the earth and as he continues his ministry also today through the church and various other agencies. The coming of the kingdom of heaven is actually good news for us. And it's good news for all people. Not just people who know that they need God and his forgiveness and his love and his grace, but everybody, as the prophet Isaiah says, everybody who lives in the land where death casts its shadow. Because the ministry of Jesus is coming to bring life in place of death, and light in place of darkness, and hope and healing and transformation and community and lots of other things. As it says in chapter 4, verse 23, "Jesus traveled throughout the region of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness." So Jesus is talking about repentance, sure, and forgiveness for sin, which is true. This is one of the great things that Jesus gives to you and to me and actually to the whole world. He reconciles us back to God. He deals with the brokenness of the relationship between us and God, which is the source of all death and all darkness. But he also heals people physically. He also sets people free from the power of evil. He also raises the dead. He also preaches good news for the poor, justice, transformation of society. And that is what kind of we need to have in mind when we see those words, kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven. All right, so at some point, Mitch, think quick. Oh, Stephen thought quick. At some point, your dad will throw you the keys and go, okay, let's go driving. Carabo, at some point this is going to happen to you. No, she's saying. Not a good idea. Sorry, Stephen, by the way. That was a really bad throw.
He's usually better than that.
I usually am. I'm a wicket keeper. You know, we can't throw. It's okay. Jesus does this to the disciples. He goes, okay, we're going to go on the road. And the things that you have been seeing me do are the things that I'm going to ask you to do now. And I'm going to be beside you and I'm going to be teaching you. And it's all going to be okay because I'm still in control. Those of us who are parents or instructors of L-plate drivers, we are actually legally responsible for the things that our kids or others do while we are teaching them, right? We're the ones who are in charge. So we'd better be alert and we'd better be in charge. In Matthew chapter 10, so the disciples go with Jesus. They watch him as he brings and embodies the kingdom of heaven. They watch him, they walk beside him as he heals people physically, as he proclaims the good news, as he begins to bring the transformation that God the Father has sent him to earth to work. In Matthew 10, Jesus throws his L-plate disciples the keys. He says this, beginning of Matthew 10. Jesus called his 12 disciples together and gave them authority to cast out evil spirits and to heal every kind of disease and illness. You know what? Those are exactly the same words that the disciples go and see Jesus doing in Matthew chapter 4, exactly the same phrase in Greek. It lists the 12 disciples, and then in verse 5 of chapter 10 it says, Jesus sent out the 12 apostles with these instructions. Go and announce to people that the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, and cast out demons. Give as freely as you have received. Jesus hops out of the driver's seat, throws the keys to the disciples and goes, rightio, we're going to go for a spin. The things that you've seen me doing, the things that you've learned as we have walked together and shared the kingdom of heaven, I am now giving you the authority to do and asking you to do, and I will be beside you and I'll give you the authority that you need. And then in Matthew 28, the end of the gospel, Jesus tells his disciples to throw the keys to others, right? You all know, or maybe most of you know this passage where Jesus says, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. In other words, someday, Mitch, you, God willing, are going to be the instructor for another L-plate driver. So perhaps Carabo, maybe. But this is what Jesus does with us as disciples. His final mandate is that we should be people who are throwing the keys to others and saying, you know what? Jesus is with us all the time. He's called us to do the stuff that he did. And in fact, his church is his body on earth. And it's the thing that he uses to get stuff done on this planet. The physical thing that Jesus uses is each of us as cells in his body, to mix my metaphors right up. We are all L-plate disciples, and there are no excuses. We are all learning from Jesus. I don't know if Pastor James, I'm sure, will be able to get this one, but it's not a rhetorical question. In Luke's gospel, when Jesus first calls Peter, do you remember what Peter says at that point? Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. You know, here's my excuse. I am too bad, Jesus, to do the things that you're calling me to do. I can't do it. And Jesus says, don't be afraid. From now on, I'm going to send you out to catch people. We might have excuses too. I'm not qualified. I haven't done 6 years in seminary. I don't know how to share my faith. I don't know how to pray. I don't know how to read the Bible. I'm too bad, you couldn't forgive me, you better choose someone else. But we are all learning from Jesus to live for the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus doesn't actually accept excuses because his call is a gracious one. Jesus does not call Peter, James, John, and Andrew because they're super theologians who will always get it right. He calls them because they're ordinary people who have the capacity to learn from him as they walk together in the kingdom of God. Jesus' call is not dependent on your or my or Peter's goodness or theological knowledge or skill, because in fact, Jesus equips the people that he calls. He doesn't call the ones who are already equipped. He says, we're going to get on-the-job training, we're going to do L-plate discipleship, and I'll be here beside you, and we're going to learn things together. Sometimes in the church, people want to stick this sign on other people. I'm one of the people who people want to stick this sign on, right? They go, okay, but you're a P-plate disciple, Nathan. You're a pastor, right? And P can stand for pastor or professional or pay. We pay you to do this stuff. We pay you to pray and to read God's word and tell us about what it's meant to be. And you've done 6 years in seminary, so you can do the witnessing and the leadership and the stuff that Jesus asks you to do, okay? We have a very strong tendency in the LCA, I think, to label people as P-plate Christians, professionals, paid people, pastors. But the sign is not going to stick. Neither is this one. It worked the other day. I, like you, am an L-plate Christian. And I'm not going to be able to keep this on for very long. But I hope this is an image that you will remember. There's no professionals in the kingdom of God. We're all learning together from Jesus. We talked a little bit about, you know, what the things are that you need to learn as you're an L-plate driver. What are some of the practices, do you think, of an L-plate disciple? People who are learning from Jesus as we embody the kingdom of heaven together with him. Not a rhetorical question. Please feel free to answer.
Remembering.
Look at the signs. Yes? Okay. What might the signs be in a Christian
stop.
Kingdom of heaven sense? Stop. That's a good one. Yeah.
Watch out.
Read the signs.
Wrong way. Go back.
Okay, that's good. What are some of the other practices that we might need to embody as we live together in the kingdom of heaven? Tolerance, wisdom.
I said
listening, absolutely, yep.
Not needing to know.
Oh, that's good, Janie, I like that one. Not needing to know all the answers. Here's some that I thought of. Prayer, we learn to pray by praying. We don't learn to pray by reading all of the theology on prayer, we learn to pray by praying. Just as a child learns to talk by babbling and being corrected and learning from their parents. They learn to talk by talking. Sharing or speaking our faith. Giving witness, being in mission. That's probably one that's a bit tricky for all of us. But it starts here. You know, right here in our worship service, we have faith conversations with one another. We learn to share our faith by, first of all, sharing with people who are safe to do that with, that you won't feel anxious about, with our children, in our families. Reading and hearing God's word, listening and watching the signs, absolutely, really important. And a whole lot of other stuff, of course. All of this, in fact, this passage of the call of the disciples, I think ties in incredibly well with our church's purpose as I've articulated it. Pakenham Lakeside Church exists to invite and equip people to walk with the risen Jesus. Invite that gracious call of Jesus that says, come follow me. Doesn't matter what your background has been or what your skill level is, come follow me. I'm your saviour, I'm your instructor and your teacher. I will be with you. And to equip people, and that's what I hope that and pray that we can do this year as well, to learn together and individually some of those embodied practices of living in the kingdom of heaven. And that's actually the reason that as I was thinking through and preparing this sermon that I've decided, and God willing, it will glorify God and help us to learn together, that over the next few weeks of our church services, we're going to look at some of those practices. And we're particularly going to do that from Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, which comes straight after the call of the disciples, which is the Sermon on the Mount. So practices like prayer, what Jesus teach us to pray, reading and listening to the living Word of God, Jesus through the Bible and the power of the Holy Spirit. I've hidden this one down behind the hill, witness and mission, because that's usually where it gets put in the church. It's like, oh yeah, we'll get to that one. And daily life in the kingdom, what's it look like to walk with Jesus? We're not there yet. Are we there yet? My sermon is. But we're not at our destination. We're not in heaven. We don't yet get to enjoy unbroken fellowship with God for eternity. But we are on the way. We're on the road with Jesus. He's with us and he's promised to be with us always. And as we walk with him, we learn from him and we learn what it means to embody the kingdom of heaven. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your gracious call to us. Thank you that it doesn't matter about our skill level or our goodness, but actually your grace, your forgiveness, your equipping of us to live as your people. I pray that your Holy Spirit would move within and amongst each of us as individuals and as a body, so that we may together learn from you what it means to be the expression and the embodiment of the kingdom of heaven. Thank you for all that you have done for us. In your name we pray. Amen.